Okay. The scripture I was going to have for today, where I usually pray, was Psalms 59, verse 16 to the end. But I will sing of your strength in the morning. I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. You are my strength. I sing praise to you. You, God, are my fortress, my God of whom I can rely. Amen.
Amen. Well, that's good. God bless this. And it's a for Poe. What was in there was, "You are my love." And that's the main thing I want to talk about today, which is love. And actually, I do have a title for this, and I call this, "What's It All About?" Okay. And the main scripture I have is 1 John 4, 7 through 20. Let me start with that, with glasses. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love. And all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. If someone says, "I love God," but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command: those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters. As a pastor of ours used to say, God bless this reading of his word. Well, so I say my title is What's It All About? So let me back up here in life. Maybe I won't start with in the beginning God, not quite that far back. But as one says, about as far back as I could remember, I always wanted to be a physicist. Certainly by junior high school, I was thinking I wanted to be a physicist. And it kind of, I kind of went off and on about it because I wondered whether I was smart enough to be a physicist and be able to compete with those kind of people. And with some efforts and some setbacks along the way, and sometimes thinking maybe I ought to do something else, I finally became a physicist, And the real reason I wanted to be a physicist is I always wanted to understand not only how things work, but how they work, why they work. What's the root cause of all this? What's really driving it all? If you have a machine or something, keep take it apart, find out how it really works and everything, including, if possible, the universe itself. I want to, for a while I thought maybe I'd be a forester, for example, because I like being outside. But I took biology and I really didn't like biology. Too much memorization, too much Latin. To me, it was like butterfly collecting. This was, now some people do this, and these days biology is actually all about microbiology, and you get into molecules and everything in that. But back in my day, it was more descriptive than anything. Anyway, I always wanted to be a physicist. And I was reasonably successful at it. Like all the kids in Lake Wobegon, if you remember Garrison Keillor's talk, I was above average. Not a lot above average, but being that in physics, I thought that was pretty good. Okay. And at one point, I was a nuclear physicist. I solved a couple puzzles that were outstanding. I mean, nothing earth-shaking or anything like that, but like there were some missing strength in certain nuclear excitations that just didn't seem to be there, and people couldn't figure out why. And because of some of the experiments I was working on and involved with and everything, I was able to figure out what was really going on here, namely that it was fragmented, and I could prove it in such a way. And at any rate, that got me some reputation, and I was invited to give talks at various universities and international conferences and so forth. And so I enjoyed my quote 15 minutes of fame, and that was good. For several years, I was kind of at the forefront of what was going on in nuclear physics. Now, that's not particle physics, Nuclear physics is what's going on inside the nucleus, but the nucleus is made of neutrons and protons, and so-called particle physics is what's going on inside neutrons and protons. And I did get into that later in my career, just the last 10 years or so before I retired. But at any rate, I had a good career in physics. Okay, but what you discover is that you answer one question in science and it really just peels away a layer and you go down to the next question. Okay, well, where did that come from? And where did that come from? The present idea is we think the universe started with the Big Bang. And you immediately get into the question of, okay, well, all right, if there was a Big Bang, where did it come from? What was before that? And physicists go around about this, and some of them have some wild ideas and so forth, but nothing that's generally accepted. Basically, we just don't know. Okay. And the universe has these puzzling things about it. The universe appears to be finely tuned. And 25 years ago, some people started pointing this out, and scientists thought, okay, if we work at this a little while longer, figure out why things are exactly the way they are. I mean, it all has to do with things like what are the relative strengths of the fundamental forces and so forth, and what particles do exist and why, and so forth. And but as time went along, it became clear. We can't figure this out. The universe, people make a list of at least 15 things that seem to be very finely tuned, and if they weren't exactly this way, the universe as we know it wouldn't exist. Okay? And it went from, at first it was like, oh, that's just, Christians or some people like that saying, see, this is the hand of God in here and all that. And people kept thinking that, oh, we'll figure out why they're exactly this way. But if anything, it's gotten worse. We have even more than 15 things now, and it's like we just don't know why it's exactly this way. Okay. And it's still that way. Okay. And then, we think, okay, the universe had a big bang, and so it's basically a big explosion, and it threw everything out. And All the masses there ought to be working on that to slow down the expansion. Whatever it was that caused the original Big Bang, we don't know what that was. I mean, it's a whole bunch of energy put in there from somewhere. But it goes out, all the mass there should be working on that mass going out, trying to slow it down. But we've discovered in the last 20 years that the acceleration of the universe is actually increasing. And that makes no sense at all. Gravity should be slowing it down. Instead, it's speeding up. Now, some people think, well, maybe these measurements are wrong. And so, the first group that reported that, they repeated their stuff two, three times and kept coming up with that conclusion. But then other people got involved and measured this sort of thing as well, and it doesn't go away. And some say, well, it may not be that there really is another force or something that we don't know about. This is called dark energy. And it would be huge, a huge amount of dark energy in order to create this increase in expansion. It may be just something fundamentally wrong with what we understand about fundamental forces and whether they change with time or not or whatever. At any rate, it's a big mess and we don't know. You can go to another area like biology. I remember when I was a teenager in the 1950s. And into the 60s, even at that time, people were saying, okay, we're going to create life in the laboratory, biological life. They still haven't done it all this time later. And scientists will seriously say things like, well, maybe the original life that started on this planet came in on some meteorite from somewhere. Okay, well, I mean, that just begs the question, of course, I mean, how to get on that meteorite, whatever. And if you look at the smallest cell that you would actually call life, it's already very, very complicated. I mean, to just go and take a bunch of chemicals and mix it together and make it do that, well, again, nobody can do it. Nobody can do it. So there are a lot of questions in there, okay? And I begin to realize, in the end, science is not going to be able to answer fundamental questions like, where did all this come from? Or something like, well, what's it all about? And everything. Of course, at the same time I was pursuing science, I was also involved in churches. Our family went to church, and when I was young, we went to a church that was very Baptist-like, called the Rockford Gospel Tabernacle. And it was one of those ones, where after every service there would be altar call, and after a while this gets to be kind of amusing because it's usually the same congregation, and there's hardly ever anybody new there. But there's always got to be an altar call, just in case there's somebody lurking somewhere here that we don't know about who isn't saved yet. But at any rate, I went forward two, three times, and I always wanted to feel something. Okay, God, save me. And I never really felt anything, and so, after a while, I become a bit disillusioned with the whole thing. And then we changed to a Methodist church, which wasn't like that at all, and so forth. But anyway, I was trying to pursue God, God, if you really exist. And then, it went along until I was 44 years old, and then God found me, and I've given this testimony before, and I'm not going to go through it all over again, but basically, praying in the morning with my wife, because I agreed with somebody else that I would do that for a week or two, and all of a sudden God just fell on me, and I could feel it, the Holy Spirit all over me. And the second day we were praying, it just came in me just as clear as anything, Jesus is alive. And I was just praying a very simple prayer, like, God, if you're real, make it clear to me. You got to get to the fundamentals on these things, just if you're if you're real, make it clear to me. And what came, just, I mean, is it wasn't out loud, but it was definite words, very specific, and yet I knew it was God. And of all the things he could have said to convince me that he was real, he said, Jesus is alive. And that answers all the questions about Christianity and so forth. So he found me, and it was him, really. And so I've now spent the last 37 years or so learning more about him, that is God. And what I have learned, what I mainly want to talk about today, is that God is love. And that's what it's all about. It's all about love. And it starts with God loving us. Once we realize that God loves us, if you really know that, and people come to God in all kinds of different ways. You know, when I talk to other people who are Christians and I hear their salvation story, I'm always impressed how God can do it differently with absolutely every person. Okay. So anyway, however you get there, if you know that God is real and that God loves you, boy, it just changes everything. Just changes everything. And then the scripture for today, when I was reading, you know, one of the things it leads to is then we should love one another. We should love one another because he loved us first. Again, that's sort of the cornerstone in my way of thinking that it hangs on. If you know that you really know that God loves you,
right,
then you feel like, okay, love is what it's really all about. And that extends to if he can actually love me the way I am and everything, least I can do is try to love people around me and so forth. And of course, the word tells us to do that, tells us to do that. And so, let's see, let's make sure I haven't found, you know, so God is faithful and true, you know, if he found me, he saved me, he speaks to me from time to time, sometimes fairly clearly like that, but most of the time it's just a sense, you know, okay, this is what I should do, this is what I shouldn't do, and it can make it very clear to me, and I'm sure to you also. And he's healed me on a few occasions. Okay, a couple that I know, I mean, just absolutely was him and everything. And he's forgiven me, of course. And because of all that, I know that he loves me and I love him. And then turn this around and we extend our love to other people. But how much does God love us? Well, let's go to one other scripture, a favorite one of mine, and I gave a whole message on this before some time ago, from the Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon. First of all, chapter 4, verse 1. So the Song of Songs, Song of Solomon, you know, it's about this couple, a young man and a young woman, and they're about to be wed or something like that, and he pursues her and everything, and then she realizes she loves him and everything, and then they sort of make plans and they start to get together, but then he comes to call on her and asks her to come out and run away with him into the night and do things and everything. And she says, it's too late. I'm ready to go to bed and everything and all that. And so he disappears then. And then for a while, she can't find him and everything. And so a lot of people have looked at this chapter, Song of Songs, and say, well, it's just about human love, man for a woman, woman for a man, and so forth. And I think that's true, but it's also other things. The Jews think the bride here is Israel, and that the young man is God himself. And we Christians think another way of looking at it is the young man is Jesus, you know, and the bride is the church, us, all the people, everything. And that's the particular interpretation that, you know, that I kind of follow going through this. And so I look at this as Jesus speaking to us. So chapter 4, first verse 1, says, "You are beautiful, my darling." This is the young man speaking to the young woman. Again, I say Christ talking to his church and to us individually. "You are beautiful, my darling, beautiful beyond words. Your eyes are like doves behind your veil. Your hair falls in waves like a flock of goats winding down the slopes of Gilead." He's just madly in love, madly in love. And I think that's the way Christ is with us. Okay, but then skip down to verses 8 and 9. It says, "Come with me from Lebanon, my bride. Come with me from Lebanon. Come down from Mount Amana, from the peaks of Sinner and Hermon, where the lions have their dens and the leopards live among the hills." Verse 9, "You have captured my heart, my treasure. You hold it hostage with one glance of your eyes." When I read this, I feel the Holy Spirit. "You hold it hostage with one glance of your eyes, with a single jewel of your necklace." But you can go on. "Your love delights me, my treasure, my bride." But you know what this is? This is like when you are first falling in love and you look at the girl and she looks back at you, or reverse that if you're the woman, of course, and you realize that person really does love you. And you know that you love them. And it's almost more than you can take. And you can't continue to look at each other. You have to look away because it's just overpowering. It's just too much. That what this is saying in my interpretation, and it isn't original with me, is that this is the way God feels about us when we look at him and we look back and let him know that we really do love him. It's almost, he's saying, it's almost more than I can take. I have to deflect my eyes away from you. I can't continue the gaze. Well, of course, God can do anything he wants and all that. But he's trying to communicate to us how much he really loves us. When we turn around and give him our love and tell him he is the all in all for us, it's almost more than he can take. That's how much God loves us. So much God loves us. And if we can get that in there, then where are we? Well, we have to turn around and say it's really all about love. You know, what's it all about? You know, most of us are old enough, we remember this movie and everything. Alfie are saying, "What's it all about, Alfie?" You know, well, it's love is what it's all about, and all the forms of love. You know, in English, we have this one word, love, but, you know, those of us who've been Christians for a while, we talk about how in the Greek, well, there's agape love, and there's phileo love, and there's eros love, so forth. There are different kinds of love. So it starts with this love of God, knowing that God loves us and we love him. Then we love one another. That's like phileo love. Okay. But then, you know, we'll say things like, "Oh, well, I really love to play bridge," or something, or "I really love to go sailing." Joan and I love to do that for a number of years and so forth. Well, that's a kind of love and everything. But the love I really want to talk about now is the love for one another. You know, it just should be there. Because again, when we know how much God himself loves us that much, like we've just read, then we turn around and we should love one another. And that's what it's all about. And so, you know, as a scientist or something, you can go and try and find out where the universe came from. And I'm convinced now we will never know exactly. We will never know exactly. It's a mystery in the end. I mean, actually, you know, it comes down to the question of why is there something rather than nothing? You know, well, literally, God only knows. You know, I mean, why does the universe exist at all? And I don't think science will ever be able to answer that question. And in truth, most scientists I know about don't would agree with that. Okay. I mean, Stephen Hawking talked about for a while he was going to find the equation that that explained the whole universe. I don't believe there is any such equation, and he never came close to finding one. Okay. But love, so I mean, we don't know where you can't find this scientifically, where it came from, what's here, you know, but it's God, and God is love. That's what God really is, and that's what He wants us to turn around and do. That's the expression. And so, what it's all about is love, the love of God for us, the love of us back to God, and the love of us for one another, for our children, for our family, for our friends. For our community, whatever, love, love. That's that. God is love. That's what He is. And so, whenever we're talking about love, we're talking about God. And love is what it's all about. Okay. Well, I should say, you know, I'm not totally naive. You know, what about evil and bad things? You know, and I know bad things happen, quote, to good people. And others, and all that. But God is love, and somehow that shines through for her. You know, it's like they say, you know, we presently like look through a glass darkly or something. I don't know why some of the bad things happen that happen and everything, but I do know that God is love, and God loves me. And in turn, I love Him, and I love my fellow person, especially Christians, and love is what it's all about. Okay. That's it. Any comments or questions? Is my basic thesis wrong?
No, it's not wrong.
Anybody? Yeah.
Since you can't do it,
Yeah, I can't.
you
I
can't
can't be first
you
one.
can't be the first one. I was just thinking about that. The one of the first questions we ask as kids is, why is the sky blue? You know, and sure, it's been figured out, you know, scientifically why the sky is blue, is it light refraction and all that kind of
Right.
stuff, but why?
Yeah, I.
You know, and like you said, it just leads to another question. And as kids, we would do that. I would do that. But why? But why?
Yeah, a low kick can drive you crazy
Yeah, and it's
that
like, I just don't know. Go ask so and so. And we never get to that end. And it's like, for me, the Big Bang is, that's when God speaks. Let there be.
Yeah.
And it's a big booming. That's how I just picture this voice just speaking it forth in some, you know, in a humorous way, thinking of it like a sneeze, where it's just, you know, because it just goes out everywhere.
Yeah.
And it goes out faster until it's.
Yeah, I mean, you can go through, people have, and I've talked about it here. And if you look at the Big Bang and the way the world came to be, it actually follows what's in Genesis amazingly well. I mean, you consider this was written so many thousands of years ago when we didn't know what we know now. We didn't know anything about the Big Bang and all kinds of other stuff. And if you consider what's there, you have to think something inspired this that knew what was going on. But anyway, that's another topic.
That's another kettle of fish.
Yeah. Anybody else? Okay.
Just, you know, when you were talking about the creating life, getting down, you know, trying to get to that point of just down into the smallest particle with the God particle kind of thing, and then just creating life. I remember years ago, this pastor talking about, you know, just go ahead and make a leaf. You know, he just reached over to the planted tree that was in the sanctuary, and he just said, go ahead, make a leaf. And then talking about, you know, in this laboratory, in the laboratory, they finally created man. And, you know, God, look, we have made man. And of course, he says, okay, that's great. Do it again. But this time, it's your own dirt. You know?
It was.
Get your own dirt.
Oh, get your own dirt. Yeah. Right.
So, and we'll never, you know, we can't create matter.
Yeah. I mean, where do you stop when you're trying to peel away the layers and get down there? Yeah. God only knows. God only knows. Why is, there's not only something, but it's an amazing universe, just so amazing and so beautiful in so many ways, like the blue sky.
Yeah.
Yes. Other than that, Lord, you know, we just marvel at you and the fact that you do love us.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so much of the Bible centers around that and talks about that, you know. God loves us. We loved him because he first loved us. But it's just amazing that you, who did create this whole amazing universe and knows the end from the beginning, loves each one of us. And when we love you back, it's just almost overwhelming for you. It's what you want. It's what you really want. You know, it's like, used to always walk in the garden with Adam every evening. You want to fellowship with each and every one of us every day. Lord, help us to keep that in mind. And it all centers around the fact that you love us and we love you. And following all that, Lord, help us to love one another, be kind to one another, lift up one another. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen.